The Potter of Gaea by Amulya Mishra, a Gothic horror tale. 1. The pot that never cracked. The pot was older than the garden. That was what people said in Gaea. It sat beneath the banyan tree, inside the abandoned palace grounds, half buried in earth that never quite dried. Even in summer, when the sun baked the city until dogs hid under carts and birds dropped dead from the sky, the soil around that pot stayed dark and damp. No one touched it. Children dared each other to run past it at night. Some swore they heard breathing. Others claimed the pot whispered names, slowly, lovingly, like a mother calling a child home. The elders said it was only clay. But clay, everyone in Gaea knew, remembered hands. 2. Schrafen worked with silence. His workshop stood at the edge of the river, where the water ran sluggish and brown, carrying ashes from cremation pyres upstream. He shaked pots that felt warm, even after firing, pots that rang softly when tapped, as if hollow in the wrong way. People trusted him. He was gentle, soft-spoken, with eyes that lingered too long on faces, as though memorizing them. His hands were always stained red, not with blood, but with the iron-rich clay he dug himself at night. Schrafen believed clay was alive, not metaphorically, literally. He believed clay listened. And when the princess of Gaea first saw him at the riverbank, barefoot, sleeves rolled, clay spinning obediently under his fingers, she believed it. 2. 3. A lovey that should not exist. The princess came disguised, her jewelry hidden, her hair covered. She said she wanted a pot for her mother. Schrafen did not bow. He looked up, eyes meeting hers, and something ancient shifted between them. They spoke only once that day. They spoke again the next. Soon, the princess found excuses to walk near the river. Schrafen pretended not to notice the guards watching from afar. Their love was never declared. It did not need to be. In Gaea, love was a crime when it crossed boundaries, and crimes demanded punishment. 4. The king's decision. The king was not a cruel man. That was what history would later say. He believed in order, in tradition, in keeping the city clean. When he learned of the affair, he did not rage. He did not shout. He summoned Schrafen at night. No trial, no witnesses. They took Schrafen to the palace garden, where the banyan tree's roots twisted like serpents beneath the earth. The execution was efficient. His body was cut apart, methodically, reverently, like dismantling a machine that had failed its purpose. His remains were placed beneath a massive earthen pot, one Schrafen himself had once made for the palace. The king watched as soil covered it. "Let him return to clay," he said, and the garden went silent. Vive the oath, Schrafen did not die screaming. He died listening. The earth pressed against him. The pot above him hummed faintly, warm and close. And in that darkness, Schrafen remembered every face that had ever lied, stolen, hurt, or destroyed another soul and called it necessity. As his breath failed, he whispered an oath, not to the gods, but to the clay. "I will return. I will judge. I will make the world clean." The pot above him cracked, not outward, but inward, and something answered. 6. The first deaths. Years passed. The old king fled when invaders stormed Gaea. The palace emptied. The garden grew wild. Then the deaths began. A moneylender was found hanging from his own ceiling fan, eyes wide, lips stretched into a grin too large for his face. A priest drowned himself in the river, arms wrapped around a clay idol he once sold as blessed. A magistrate drank poison while laughing uncontrollably, clawing at his throat as if trying to pull something out. Each death was ruled a suicide. Each victim had been known for cruelty. And something else, something quieter, happened too. Crime dropped. Gaea felt lighter. People slept without locking doors. They whispered a name again, cautiously. Schrafen. The workshop, hidden beneath a collapsed hut near the river, lay Schrafen's true work, clay statues, hundreds of them, each sculpted with terrifying precision. Wrinkles, scars, expressions frozen in terror. Some were kneeling, some were screaming, some looked almost peaceful. Inside each statue was something more than air. The guilty did not vanish when they died. They were stored. The clay held them, and the city flourished.